Oh, it's so good to be here tonight. My husband, he asks me every so often if I will come and speak. And honestly, I don't have a problem talking to people. I don't know if y'all know that about me. I could talk to a post and just talk away. But every once in a while, he'll ask me, like, oh, honey, I don't know. So he told me. This is what he told me. He's like, you're going to speak on Wednesday. I'm like, okay, if you're not giving me a choice, I guess I'll do what you asked me to do or what you told me to do. But anyway, I want to talk to us about something tonight that kind of, you know, I think sometimes maybe we forget about it. Not too long ago, a few months ago, I was standing over here and the Lord spoke to me and he said, and I was looking over at Michaela and he said, I'm about to give the church physical babies and spiritual babies. And it was very, very clear. So before Michaela told me she was pregnant, I knew she was going to have a baby because the Lord told me. He didn't say just her, but he did tell me, and I was looking at her when it happened. So I knew. But he told me that, and I was like, okay, Lord, okay. Well, you know, when there's babies, you got to take care of babies, okay? I've been a baby before. I've been a physical baby. Everybody has. And I've been a spiritual baby. And I had to get a lot of diapers changed when I was a spiritual baby. And, you know, sometimes it's not fun. It wasn't fun for me. I'm sure it wasn't fun for people that had to do it, you know. But it happens, you know. And we have to remember when we have spiritual babies that we have to have compassion on them. We have to have understanding and long-suffering with them because they don't know anything. They don't know anything. I lived for the world for 25 years. So when I started coming to church, I had to learn everything. I had to learn how to crawl. I had to learn how to walk. And then now I'm trying to learn how to run. But it has been a process. It did not just happen overnight. And so I just want to encourage us tonight. We're going to have spiritual babies. We have spiritual babies. But I want us to look at them the way the Lord wants us to look at them. Okay, because it's easy sometimes for us to get all judgmental and be like, you know what, how do they not have this down yet? What's wrong with them? Well, you don't know what they've gone through. You don't know the things that they've had to deal with and the spiritual baggage that they have when they walk through those doors. Yeah, they might be praying through and being baptized, but that doesn't mean all that stuff has gone away. It doesn't mean that. There is a process that we go through, and we have to be mindful as a church of that process because we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. We all need grace sometimes. My husband always says this, and it's so true. He said, be quick to give mercy because one day you're going to need it. We're all going to need mercy one day. So the title of my whatever tonight is, why is discipleship important? I want you to ask that question to yourself. Why is discipleship important? The word disciple is defined as a dedicated follower of Jesus. Does everyone know that the church is called to make disciples? Point to yourself and say, that means me. That doesn't just mean pastor. That doesn't just mean Brother Sean. That doesn't just mean Sister Carissa. That means me. Every single one of us. So if you're going around and wondering what your purpose is, what's my purpose? I don't know. I'm telling you right now, this is your purpose. It's to make disciples. It's to make disciples. That's what we're here for. So why is discipleship necessary? Discipleship is necessary because people need to know Jesus personally. Jesus commanded his disciples to make disciples of all nations so that others could know him. Discipleship is also necessary for us to grow into maturity and transform more into the person that God has created us to be. Discipleship is also necessary for people to get sound doctrine, love God and others, and raise church leaders. We all have something important to do for God. Every single one of us that can hear what I'm saying right now, you have a ministry. Every single one of you have a calling of God upon your life. All of us do. It doesn't matter if you're the pastor or it doesn't matter if you're the janitor. You have a calling of God upon your life. You are just as important as anybody else. Just because one of us gets up here and gets the microphone, it does not mean that that person is more important than someone that is greeting someone walking through the door. It doesn't mean anything. We all have a call of God upon our lives. So discipleship is so necessary. It's so very necessary. So discipleship includes not only studying God's word, but living a life of faith and walking in obedience with God. Discipleship is a lifelong process. It never ends. Discipleship, I'm still in discipleship. I'm still being discipled. We will never stop being discipled. There's always something more that we can learn with God. Always. So all of us that have been raised in church, you don't get off. You don't just get off and not be able to make disciples. You have to make disciples too. You're just as important. You don't get a pass because you've been raised in church. You actually should be making more disciples than maybe the new convert, right? Because we know that that's what God's called us to do. It never ends. So let's discuss a few reasons why discipleship is necessary. So number one, we can discover who Jesus is. The key purpose of discipleship is to help us understand who Jesus is and how we can be more like him. I don't want to just know of God. I want to know him. I want to know him, and I want him to know me. I want him to know me. You know, the Bible says, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about Jesus telling the people, I never knew you. Depart from me. All these people, they're, you know, they went before the throne and maybe on judgment day, and they're like, God, did I not cast out devils in your name? Did I not have many signs, miracle signs and wonders? Look at all this stuff I did. And he's going to say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. I don't want to be that person. I do not want to be that person. I don't want to just know of him. I want to know him, and I want him to know me. Jesus is perfect. He came to the earth fully God and fully man, and he dwelt among us. He willingly died for your sins because he wanted you to know how much he loves you. His character reveals to us that he is humble, he is kind, and he is willing to lay down his life for those he loves. The next one is growing in relationship with God and others. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. That's how they're going to know. That's how they're going to know if we're Christ-like, because we love. Because we love each other. We love the people that get on our nerves. We love the people that drive us crazy. We love the people that may have hurt us. We love the people that may have stabbed us in our back. That's how the world knows that we are Christ-like. Because we have love for each other. We have love for each other. Let me tell you something. If there's somebody you're going to church with and you can't stand them, you need to find a place to pray. And you need to pray through that. Because this is the thing. We're going to heaven with them. If you can't get along with them down here, what makes you think you're going to be able to go to heaven with them? I mean, really. You know, there's going to be personalities that we might not all, you know, we don't all mesh with everybody. But to love them, just to have a genuine love for them no matter what, that is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love them. That is how people know that we are Christians, because we have love one for another. In John 13, it says, if we're not growing in relationship with God and others, I'm sorry, this is not John 13, the new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, John 13. If we're not growing in relationship with God and others, we are not fully in God's will. We should always be moving forward and growing. We need to pray for unity, brotherly love, and a love for all the saints. We need to pray those things. Pastor told me something the other day, and since he's told me, I can't keep thinking about it. I can't quit thinking about it. It comes to me several times a day, and I want to share it with you. He said he heard someone tell him the other day that people don't want to go to a friendly church. Did y'all know that? That's crazy, right? Don't you think people want to go to a friendly church? You would think that, but that's not what they want. They want to go to a church where they have friends. Anybody can be friendly for 5 minutes. Anybody can say, hey, how you doing for, you know, 30 seconds. But are you that person's friend? How much do you call them and reach out to them? How much do you make time for them? We are called to make disciples. That's what we're here for. That is what we're here for. Everything else is secondary. Really, our job is secondary. Everything else is secondary. We are here to make disciples for Jesus, encourage each other. We are here to win a lost world. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Pastor, when he told me that, it really floored me because I always think, oh man, I can be friendly. I am super good at being friendly, but how much of a friend are you, Denise? What kind of friend are you? Can people depend on you? Can they call you up and say, hey, could you do this for me? Or, hey, I need you to do that for me. Or, I need to tell you something. Could you pray for me? Like, I had to search myself. I might not be the best friend. I want to be a better friend. We need to look for ways to be friends to each other. Discipleship is important because we develop maturity during discipleship. Discipleship's just not for the ones we're discipling. It's for us too. Discipleship is necessary for the life of a believer because it encourages growth and maturity in our walk with Christ. If a community of like-minded believers does not surround you, then it will be tough to mature in your faith and live out practically. In the Bible, it says, iron sharpeneth iron. We need each other. We need our brothers and our sisters. We need each other. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. We need to understand. We need to have maturity. You can always tell if a Christian is mature or not on how they respond to different things. You know, people can be in church their whole life and not be a mature Christian. People can be in church their whole life and not even be on their way to heaven. That is a scary, scary thought to me. I'm like, God, I don't know what you're going to have to do to me, but whatever you have to do to me for me to make it to heaven, do it. I don't care what it is because I have to make it to heaven. I've got to. My family's got to make it. I pray, God, whatever you have to do to my kids, I don't care what it is. Do it because we've got to make it to heaven. We've got to make it to heaven. I don't care how long you've been in church, Daniel. You've got to make it to heaven. It does not matter. That is our main thing. And not only make it to heaven, but bring people with us. We got to bring people with us.
Help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord.
Oh, God. I don't want to be a Christian or a person that goes to church all my life and not make it. So how can you tell? How can you tell if a Christian is a mature Christian or not? It's how they respond to different things, right? You're known by your fruit, right? Do they have the fruit of the Spirit? Are you easily approachable? Do you gossip? Are the words of your mouth uplifting or are they tearing down? Do we have the wisdom that's from above? I want to read a passage from the Passion Translation of the Bible in James. It's a little lengthy, but it's very, very interesting. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, don't be so eager to become a teacher in the church, since you know that he who teaches are held to a higher standard of judgment. We all fail in many areas, but especially with our words. Yet if we're able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. And that means our character is mature and fully developed. If we can bridle our tongue, if we can stop talking when we need to talk, if we need to stop saying things that come through, everything that comes through our mind, we need to ask the Lord to put a guard over our mouth. And skipping down, it said, and so the tongue is a small part of the body. Say, my tongue is a small part of the body. Yet it carries great power. Just think of how small a flame can set a huge forest ablaze. And the tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness and is the most dangerous part of the human body. It corrupts the entire body and is a hellish flame. It releases a fire that can burn throughout the course of human existence. But the tongue is not able to be tamed. It's very hard to tame. It's fickle, unrestrained evil that spews out words full of toxic poison. We use our tongue to praise God, our Father, and then turn around and curse a person who is made in his image. Out of the same mouth, we pour out words of praise 1 minute and curses the next. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. if you consider yourself to be wise and one who understands the ways of God, advertise it with a beautiful, fruitful life guided by wisdom's gentleness. Never brag or boast about what you've done, and you'll prove that you're truly wise. But if there is bitter jealousy or competition hiding in your heart, then don't deny it and try to compensate for it by boasting and being phony. For that has nothing to do with God's heavenly wisdom, but can best be described as the wisdom of this world, both selfish and devilish. So whether jealousy or selfishness are uncovered, where they're uncovered, you will also find many troubles and every kind of meanness. Do we have bitterness and jealousy in our hearts? Do we look at our brothers and sisters and, man, it makes us mad because they're able to do something, but we can't do it? We haven't been asked to do it. Or we look at them and we think to ourselves, I could do that better than them. Why are they being asked? Or we look at them and we think all of these horrible thoughts, and maybe we don't just think them. Maybe we talk about them to each other. That's a scary thought. It's a scary thought that my words can do stuff like that. That they're selfish. And it can cause jealousy. And it just by the things that we say. But the wisdom that is from above is always pure. It's full of peace. It's considerate. It's teachable. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you can be anything in the kingdom of God, be teachable. You will never stop learning. It is a gift. If someone that is in spiritual authority comes up and they're able to get on to you and you're able to take it, that is a gift. I want to know. I called Brother Poe one day. I'm like, Brother Poe, I need to ask you something. And I started telling him, I said, am I, you know, and he's like, Denise, I wanted him to tell me. He's like, if I thought you were like that, I'd be up at pastor's office. I would be casting that out of you. I'm like, I hope so. I want it out. I don't want to be like that, you know, but I want to be teachable. I want to be easy to be entreated. I want to be, come and approach me. If you have a problem, I want to be able to be approached. I don't want to be all snappy and rude. And you know those people, the people that you're getting nervous when you're getting around, that you're about to get in trouble. Let me tell you something. We're the church. We should never be like that to anybody. If you are in the church and you are over something, never. These people, we are volunteers. We volunteer. We are not lords over them. We ask them. We ask them, hey, I need you to do this for me. If they don't show up, we don't tear into them. Maybe they're not right for the position. We ask somebody else. We don't tear into them. We're not bossy. We don't put them down. We don't belittle them, but we lift them up. We lift each other up. That's what we do, okay? We're the church. We've got to be gentle and kind. We've got to be considerate. It says that it is the peace from above is filled with love, and it never displays prejudice or hypocrisy in any form, and it always bears the beautiful harvest of righteousness. Good seeds of wisdom's fruit will be planted with peaceful acts by those who cherish making peace. One thing I can't, it's very hard for me to do or handle is when, and I know we have to be, children have to be respectful. I understand that. But when there is an adult and they talk down to children, that is a pet peeve that I have. I don't know what it is. I'll never forget every single time that someone has talked down to me when I was a child. Ever. It hurt me. It wounded me. Maybe I needed it, but you can say it in a way of love, especially if we're in the church. But I can also remember every time somebody was gentle and kind to me. They were uplifting and they were encouraging. So we are the children of God. We are to be encouraging, uplifting, kind. Our words are supposed to be, they're supposed to be soft and sweet, unless pastor has something to say. You know, sometimes the Lord corrects us, but we can be corrected, and we can correct people with love and kindness. We don't have to be rude. And I'm just saying this because, like I said, we have a lot of new converts. We need to make sure that we love them and we're gentle and we're kind with them. We have to have the wisdom that's from above. We are called to make disciples through discipleship. We cannot just expect people to know things. We need to explain things to them. Okay, we need to say why we don't do what we do. We just, pastor said, I don't know how many times I've ever heard my pastor tell me not to do it. Never say that. That is not, if you're saying that, If you're saying that, you don't know. You got to find out. You don't want to do stuff just because somebody says. So I'm the type of person, I got to know. If you're telling me not to do something and it seems a little crazy, I want to know why I'm not doing it. Show it to me. Okay? We need to know why we believe what we believe. When we have new converts asking questions, we need to not just think what we think off on them, but we need to make sure we know what the Bible says, we know what pastor says, the way he wants to go about it, and that's what we need to project. That's what we need to do. We need to know. We need to know why we do the things we do. Not only is discipleship necessary for every Christian to grow and mature in their faith, but it is also something every Christian is called to do. Every single one of us, point to yourself again and say, that's me. That's me. If you're not teaching a Bible study, you need to be teaching a Bible study. You need to be involved in a Bible study. You need to be reaching for people. Jesus' purpose is having disciples was so that they could first know him and then go and make more disciples who wanted to follow him. Because we are Christ's followers, we must also follow Jesus' example and make disciples who follow him. Matthew 28:18, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We know that that is what? The name of Jesus. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always unto the end of the world. So he's telling you right now, you go make disciples. Now, the next one is practicing a committed lifestyle. Discipleship is a lifestyle commitment. So I had an issue going on a while back, and, you know, I am very inconsistent about some things, okay? And it's my personality, so the enemy has told me, okay? So I'd pray for 5 days, and then I'd miss three, and I'd pray for 6 days, and I'd miss six, and then I'd come back, and I'd pray for, you know, 7 days, and then I'd miss 2 weeks, and I'm like, I just can't do it, God. It's my personality. I'm inconsistent. It's hard for me. Have you ever told yourself that? This is hard for me to be consistent. Guess what? It's hard for anybody to be consistent. Other people just do it. And I heard that one day on a reel, one of the best reels I've ever heard. And ever since I thought that day, I'm like, that was the enemy using an excuse for me to not be what God asked me to be. We are to be consistent. If you're not getting your prayers answered and you're not being consistent, that is why. Okay, I'm just saying, I know it was for me. Consistency. You get up every day, you make a covenant with God. God, I'm gonna give you this. I'm gonna give you from 10 to 11 every day. I'm gonna give this to you. I'm in covenant with you. I'm gonna be consistent with you. God moves in consistency. He moves in consistency. It's hard for everybody to be consistent. Okay, I didn't realize that. I just thought it was my ADHD mind. But it's hard for everybody. We have to be consistent. A transformed life. Discipleship is necessary for a transformed life to take place, or transformation to take place in your life. Whether you are a new or old believer in Jesus, you need daily transformation to happen in your mind and in your heart. It is the daily walk of walking in the Spirit that transforms us from the inside out. We have to renew our mind every day. It is every single day. We renew our mind by reading his word. We renew our mind by praying. And we renew our mind by fasting. That's how we renew our minds. He gives us formulas here. If we're having trouble, it's because we're not following the formulas. I'm talking to myself, y'all. I've been living for God now for 25 years. And I can say after about 23, I'm starting to get it. So I'm not getting on to anybody. I hope I wouldn't do that. I let pastor do that. But I'm just getting on to myself right now. I'm getting on to myself. We have to do it. If you are in if you're struggling, or if you're not feeling God like you want to feel him, practice the Bible formula. Pray, fast, read your word every day. Do it. You can do it. You can do it. I know you can do it because I'm doing it. And if I can do it, I'm the queen of inconsistencies, okay? I'm telling you. It could go either way. I've had a very hard time reading my Bible. I just finished my Bible, reading my Bible for the first time in my Christian life in January. That's a shame, y'all. It's a shame. But guess what? It's not easy for anybody, Brother Sean. And if they can do it, if they can push through it, I can push through it. I can do what he's called me to do. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. We can do it. We can do it. He is raising up an army, and we are not wimps. We are not puny. We are going to be mighty in battle. That is who we are. We can do these things. We can do what he asked us to do. Stop letting the enemy's voice sidetrack you. Young people, you can do it. You can do these things. You are going to see miracle signs and wonders. You are going to see amazing things that the Bible says that we're going to see. Why? Because we're going to believe what the word says, and we're going to be consistent, and we're going to follow the Bible formula. We can do it. We need to learn sound doctrine. Discipleship is necessary to learn proper theology and doctrine. This is especially important for new believers, but equally important for those who have been in church for a long time to continue learning. You know, there are people in church that do not know why we do the things we do. Do you know that? I have seen so many pastor's kids lately from Texas that are just falling away from the Lord. And I'm like, what in the world? These are kids that we had in our youth group, that we had at youth camps. And I'm like, what is going on? They don't know why they believe what they believe. They were just, I'm doing it because pastor told me to do it. I'm doing it because grandma told me to do it. I'm doing it because whatever, my mom and dad told me to do it. We need to know why we believe the things that we believe. There's a reason. There's a protection. We got to know. We got to know not just for ourselves, but for the people that we're discipling. We've got to know these things. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. We are required a lot because he has given us a lot. He requires things from us. I want to be able to do all the things he requires me to do. God, help us. Help us, Lord. New believers are always excited about their newfound faith. Does anybody remember when they were a new believer? I was so excited. I was so excited. I wanted to tell everybody I got the Holy Ghost. It was better than any drug I had ever done. Oh, my goodness. It was amazing. I told my uncle, I got the Holy Ghost. People are looking at me, what's the Holy Ghost? I'm like, oh, my goodness, if you don't know what it is, you need it. Because it is better than anything I've ever tried in my life. It is amazing. And, you know, they're so excited. We need to make sure we're excited for them. And we're equally as excited. God, renew the joy of my salvation. God, let your joy flow through us, God. Let your joy, God, overtake us, God. Oh, Lord, I pray for your joy, God. Oh, Lord, I need you, Jesus. Oh, sometimes I wish I could go back to when I first got the Holy Ghost because it was so pure. In all of that darkness I had in my heart, it was like it was just washed away. Did that mean all my troubles went away? No, it didn't, unfortunately. But it was so much better than what I used to do because now I had a hope, Sister Arlita. Now I had somewhere to run when I was upset or when I was hopeless. I ran to him. I ran to him and he was there. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that he loves us like this. They're new converts, they're so excited about living for God, but they may not have the correct understanding of who Jesus is and what he has done for them. We need to teach them on sound doctrine so they can eventually lead others to Christ and disciple them in their walk with God. They got to know. They got to have a good foundation. They got to have a firm foundation. Listen, I want to encourage you, if you're in this place tonight and there's things that we do or say and you don't really understand why we do them, write them down. Write them down and go find somebody. Go find somebody and ask them. You need to know. We need to know why we do these things. We need to know why we speak in tongues. We need to know why we fast. We need to know why we want women to look like women and men to look like men. We need to know these things. We need to know why we don't cut our hair. We need to know. Because once you know, and you really want to know, some people don't want to know. I want to know. I want to make it to heaven, okay? I want to know. Once you know, you can't get away from it. You can't get away from it. You know, and we need to know. We're raising up a generation that does not know the reason we do the things we do. We've got to know. Write them down. If you don't know why, what you're doing or why you're doing it, You have questions, I want you to write them down and find somebody to help disciple you. Who's willing to help disciple people? I want a hand right now. I want a show of hands. Look at all these people. Y'all are amazing. God's going to use us to help disciple people. There's another one, access to wisdom. Discipleship is necessary because you and I need people to speak wisdom into our lives. We need wisdom. One of the most overrated things that we have in our lives, not overrated, underrated, I'm sorry, underrated things that we have in our lives, and we don't even realize it, is a pastor that we allow to speak in our life. Let me tell you something. Your pastor loves you. And I can say this because I used to be a saint. I wasn't in the ministry when I didn't know anything, but I knew my pastor loved me. He had to get on to me. He had to get on to me hardcore sometimes. I was a tough one for him, but I knew that he loved me, and I knew that he wanted what was best for me. And it was like I would go to him if I had a question. I remember I went up to him one time, and I'm like, I need to tell you what I did last night. He's like, oh, Sister Denise, you don't have to tell me. You really don't. I'm like, no, I need to tell you. I need to tell you. And so I could not quit smoking. And so I'm like, I was smoking. And he's like, okay, how much do you smoke? And I'm like, I smoke one. And I know he thought I was going to say pack. But I said one cigarette a day. And he starts giggling. You know, he starts laughing. He's like, you're not addicted. I'm like, I know, but I need it. Like, I've been doing this like once every day for the past 6 months. I can't give it up. And he's like, Sister Denise. And he started laughing at me. But I went to him, and he started praying for me. And guess what? I don't smoke anymore. I don't smoke. And I'm so thankful. I know y'all are thankful too. Sister Michelle does not smoke anymore, do you? God is so good to us. But go for help. We're here for each other. This is a family. We are a family of God. We're supposed to be safe, feel safe with each other. We're supposed to encourage each other, lift each other up. We're supposed to bear each other's burdens. That's what we do. If one of my sisters or my brothers are struggling, it hurts me. It does. I don't want y'all to struggle. It hurts me when I see you struggling, and it should hurt all of us when we see each other struggling. We should find people we know that are struggling and listen, say, hey, let's have a prayer session. Let's go up and pray at the church. I remember when I would struggle, I'd come up to the front, and I'd have this little group of older ladies that would come up behind me, and they would start praying for me. Oh, sister, oh, Lord Jesus, bless Sister Denise. And I'd be moving back and forth. And they would just, as long as I stayed up there, they would pray for me. I am convinced their prayers are what got me through. Their prayers are what helped me to overcome all of the junk and the baggage. When I'm telling you baggage, people looked at me, and they were like, there's no way. There's no way she's ever going to stay in here. There's no way. You look at me now, I know people come in and they might be like, oh man, she looks perfect. I can't be like that. Or they look perfect. I used to think the same thing. If I can make it living for God, anybody can make it living for God. That is a truth. You want to see a miracle? This is a miracle right here. There's so many miracles in here. There are so many miracles in here. You can do this. There is no better life than this. I've lived a lot, and I'm telling you, the best thing I've ever done was give my life to God. My only regret is that I didn't do it sooner. I struggled and I fought it. I wish I could go back and say, God, I surrender. He just wants us to surrender to him, and then our brothers and sisters come right up behind us. Hey, I got you. I'm praying for you. You want to pray? Let's go up to the church. I'm going to meet you. I'll pray with you. I love you. We have to have a love come over us that no matter what happens, no matter what is going on, we love our brothers and sisters no matter what. We've got to have something come over us that not one bad word comes out of our mouth about our brothers and our sisters. It might get here, but that's where it's going to stop. I'm going to take that thought into captivity, and I'm going to cast it down. My mama used to say, unless you have something nice to say, Denise Pauline, don't say anything at all. Because the more bad stuff you say, the more bad stuff you want to say. Am I wrong? It's just like an avalanche. It just keeps going. You want to complain. You start complaining. And you got all kinds of stuff to complain about. And then it goes and it goes and it goes and it goes. I don't know if I'm the only one, but that happens to me. If you put a guard over your mouth, ask the Lord God, put a guard. Filter everything that goes into my mind and out of my mouth through your righteousness, God. Let me see people the way you see them. Let me love them the way that you love me. Let me love them. Let me see them through eyes of mercy. God, we need to give them mercy. We are the church. It is a shame if somebody can go to a non-denominational church down the road and the people down there are nicer to them or they're better friends to them than we are. Shame on us. God, help us, Jesus. Oh, God. I want the wisdom from God. Discipleship is necessary because we need wisdom in our lives. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, it says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know, you go through things and we start falling away. I mean, you know, when we're backsliding or when we're falling away from the church, it's a slow fade. It doesn't just happen all at once because we couldn't stand it. We're like, oh, I'll never be there. But it slowly starts to fade. Like rocking you to sleep, you know, it slowly starts. Whenever you pick up on that, whenever that happens to us, we need immediately to go to our brothers and our sisters. Maybe there's two of us. Can we have a prayer session? We need to start doing prayer sessions where we're like, okay, I'm gonna meet you at the church at 6. We're gonna pray from 6 to 7. We're gonna pray through. Okay, we are going to pray through. As many times as you need to meet me up there, I'm going to meet you up there and I'm going to pray for you. Listen, as bad as it is in the church, it is so much worse out of the church. You never want to get out from underneath the safety of the church. There is so much safe. Look, think of the people. I don't know, and I'm not trying to bring anybody in mind, but you know people that have gotten away from living for the Lord and they don't live for the Lord anymore. How many of them do you know that have a wonderful life now? There's not very many. And if there is any at all, just wait. Just wait. And I'm not trying to cast judgment or anything like that. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just saying that is the way it is. We are protected in a way that we cannot pay for, that we don't even see the protection that we have. There is a host of angels that protect us and our family. You cannot buy that kind of protection. He is so good to us. He's so good to us. There's wisdom in wise counsel. Find someone that you trust. Find someone you know is not going to say anything, and that should be every single one of us. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to tell you how we think it should be. We're not going to tell you how we think you should be doing better than what you're doing right now. We're not going to do that. We're going to pray for you because let me tell you, I should have been doing better in the sight of a lot of people than what I was doing when I first started coming to church. But I wasn't. I had so much baggage. We don't know what these people are coming in with. We have no clue what people on our pews are still dealing with. The Bible says he come to set the captives free. A lot of times the captives are in here. We need each other. We have got to have each other. Sometimes we've got to find somebody. I know there's ladies I can call and be like, I need you to pray for me. I need you to come pray for me right now. And guess what? They're praying. I know they're not judging me. I know they're not trying to figure out all the gory details. They're praying for me. Tell me what time you need me to meet you. I want to encourage every single one of you. If you need these things, find somebody. Let us know. We will have a team come pray with you. We will have a team pray for you. And we will not say a word. We will give it to the Lord. Keep accountable. I'm almost done. Another reason of why discipleship is necessary for the life of a Christian is to be kept accountable. If you're not kept accountable, the sin issues that you are struggling with now can lead to roads of destruction in the future. Don't lead yourself down a road where you don't want to go because you're not accountable. Let me tell you something about being accountable. Sometimes we like what we're doing. We know it's wrong, but we like it. I don't know if y'all have ever been there. I have been there. I didn't want to stop. I liked the way it made me feel, but I knew it was wrong. Let me tell you something also about that. When that happens, You go to somebody, and whenever that secret is let out to that person, the power or whatever that feeling is that you've had about it is taken from it. It has happened to me so many times. If I get a feeling, I'll go to my husband, I'll go to one of my trusted friends, and I'm like, look, I am feeling this way, and I want you to know about it because there is power in secret sin. There is so much power in it. The enemy knows, but once you reveal it and bring it into the light, it loses its power. It loses its power. So again, I'm going to say, don't lead yourself down a road where you do not want to go. You don't want to end up where that road's taking you. Yeah, it might be fun for a season. That's what it says. Sin is fun for a season. Or nobody would do it, right? It's fun for a season. But after that, it's destruction, and it leads to death. It leads to death. Understand your identity and your purpose in the Lord. Discipleship is necessary because it helps you understand who you are in Christ and what your purpose is in the body of Christ. We need to understand what our identity is. We live for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are a royal priesthood. We are a peculiar people. We are not like anybody else. And once you know, you're never going to fit in. The only thing you're going to fit in with is God. And that is the most important thing that we could ever fit in. That is who our identity is. He's not just part of my life. He is my life. He is my life. Oh, he is. Understand your identity, and you have a purpose. If you are teaching Bible studies and you are helping people get solid, rooted and grounded and giving them a firm foundation, guess what? That is a priceless treasure. You are winning souls for the Lord. He who wins souls is wise. I want to be wise. Your identity is Him. Our purpose is for other people. That is what we're here for. Discipleship is necessary for raising leaders in the truth of God's word so that they can lead generations after you to follow God. And then we have to endure to the end. And I'm almost finished. If the music team could come. Discipleship is necessary to endure until the end when Jesus calls you home or he returns. As we study the Bible, it should make us long to be more like Jesus. And to want to be with Him. If you're going, you know, if you're like, God, you know you should pray, you know you should fast, but you don't want to. I've been there. I know. Ask Him to give you a love for it. I have some papers right over here. They're by my seat where I sit, right by Daniel. I was going to get them to hand them out, but I forgot. But they're a list of prayers that we can pray for our church. And if you would like them, I mean, you can go and help yourself. If it's a husband and wife, just grab one. But they're good prayers, and we just speak them out. You just speak them. You know, the thing I used to get all messed up about is I was like, I got to feel like the power of God when I'm praying, or He doesn't hear me. Guess what, Brooke? He hears me. He hears me. Don't underestimate it. Don't let the enemy tell you not to do stuff because God doesn't hear you, because God hears you. He heard me. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and He delivered me from all of my troubles. He hears you. He hears you. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Him. It should also draw our gaze upward to God and not downward to things on the earth. Keep your eyes on God. Men are going to let you down every time. I will let you down. You know, if you're around me long enough, Sister Smith, I'm going to let you down. I don't want to, but I'm not perfect. I'm not going to do everything like you think I should do it. Not that you do, but I'm just saying, you're going to be around me long enough. And you're like, man, I can't Sister McCoy handle that. I don't want to do that, but that's just humans. We are not perfect. We let each other down, but that's where the grace comes in. And we don't look at people. We keep our eyes on God like David did. I will lift up my eyes into the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. Being discipled and discipling others shows us how to endure in our faith. When hard times come, when Jesus has promised, which Jesus has promised that they will, we're all going through hard times, okay? Whether you live for God or not, I just want to let you know, you're going to go through hard times. It's so much easier going through hard times when you live for God. So much easier. Because we know in the end, we win. No matter what happens, we know he's going to take care of us. We know he will. Hard times will come. Jesus promised it, but you will not be shaken because our hope and our strength rest upon a strong foundation. As we stand, could we please stand? So has some of the things that I've mentioned tonight, as I mentioned them, you might have thought, okay, that's me. Oh, man, I didn't do so good in that area. I need to work on this. And oh, man, I really need to work on that. And there's some things I'm sure that I mentioned that every single one of us in here, including myself, has said, I need to do better. I need to do better. So tonight, I just want us to close our eyes and raise our hands. And whatever it was that ministered to you, or whatever, whichever one that I said, you thought, man, I need to do better. I want you to ask the Lord to help you. Jesus, he is our firm foundation. He's the rock on which we stand. When everything around us is shaken, I have never been more glad that I put my faith in him. He's never let me down. Lord God, help us, Jesus. Oh God, help us to be better, Jesus. Help us to get our eyes on you, God. Help our focus to be on you, Jesus. Jesus.